Welcome to Blakey's Boot Room, the number one Cardiff City podcast, brought to you by Wales Online.
Right, hello, welcome to Blakey's Boot Room, the Cardiff City podcast by Wales Online in association with Giovanni's Restaurant. I'm Ben James. That voice may be a little bit unfamiliar with you. The era of Don Booth is over.
Yes.
My interim period of temporary manager of this podcast is here. He's gone to follow Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. I feel like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. But I'm joined by Blakey and Paul Abandonato. Gents, it's the morning after the night before. Let's talk about Brighton.
Let's talk about the Booth since he's left.
Yeah, go on.
First win. Look at that. You know, things are just better.
Stay in Manchester, Dom.
Yeah.
Totally joking.
And we got a dodgy red in our room with us as well.
Yeah.
So, listen, mate. Brighton, fantastic. What can I say? Result went as I thought it would up at Burnley. And then, you know, this is one of the games that Cardiff, for me, had to target to stand any chance. I thought after Burnley, if they could go and nick a 1-0, you know, get a point, 1-0, I was hoping. But, you know, it wasn't just the fact that they won 2-0, it was the way they won, Ben. They were brilliant to a man, I have to say. I thought Everidge was superb in goal, come for everything, commanded his box, good saves at times, two centre-backs, Manga and Morrison. Huge, fullbacks huge. The boys in midfield, Rowles especially, I thought was brilliant. And then Mendes Lang, well, man, you know, I've always had a thing for Mendes. He's
Blakey's,
my boy.
I told you so.
Yeah, well, what can I say?
That goal was being compared on social media, Blakey, to Lionel Messi. So.
Listen, it was everything, because it was pace, it was power, it was drive, it was determination. If you look where he picked the ball up, deep in his home half, just outside the 8-yard box, and they just couldn't live with his pace and power. And, you know, things have been said about Mendes. Oh, you know, he's a League One coming up, is he good enough? Listen, he's done great last year, he's done great since he's been here, and I've always said, you know, his work rate and his positional play is fantastic. And yesterday he just gave you another dimension of what he's capable of, and that is just a bit of everything, basically. And then when he gave it to Junior and was asking for it straight back. That's what I liked. And knew exactly, the picture was already in his head before he got the ball off Junior, received the ball off Junior. Had one thing, he had made up his mind, it's going in that top corner.
See, I'm glad that you've mentioned the build-up, because everyone can just look, when you see the highlights back, you just see the pass, the Junior highlight pass and the strike.
Mm.
But that goal started from just outside Cardiff's penalty box.
Absolutely.
Joe Rowles, I think it was, nicked the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And Mendes went on a 50
yeah,
60
well, he drove at least 50 yards,
past two or three players in effect, played it to Højlund, worked into space, and screaming, get the ball back, and then he just killed it into that corner.
Mm.
I was watching the game with my own children, Blakey, and I actually said to them when that goal went in, what you said on this podcast a few weeks back, that Mendes Lang either looks stardust, which mm-hmm. he did that night, gold dust, or Rochdale,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
no in between for the fans. But I've always, you know, Warnock's mixed and matched his wide players. We talked about. I know you're a big fan of Julia Højlund. Don was a big fan of Josh Murphy.
Mm.
I've always felt away from home, Mendes offers a little bit more because he's quicker than them. And Murphy is really quick, but I think Mendes is quicker again. But the difference is he's powerful.
He's harder.
He doesn't get bumped off the ball as easily, if you see what I mean.
He's got more grit. He's more of a fighter. He's the shape of a boxer, let's be fair.
And I was saying, look, he suits Cardiff away from home. Maybe at home you need the finesse of the others. But then, as somebody, you know, one of my children said to me last night, he said, well, you know, he's better on the ball. He won't get knocked off the ball at home, so he's just as useful at home.
Mm, mm.
I don't know what your thoughts on that are, but
I've always been a fan, Paul. It's as simple as that, you know, since day dot. And I think, you know, if yes, he's been held back with injuries and what have you this season, but I think he's kind of player. He runs into the ground. He runs until there's no more. And when you see him flagging, that's when you take him off. When he come back off injury, done well. Was flagging a bit, you know, but you have to give players a bit of time to get their second wind, sort of thing.
He looked fresh last night.
He looked amazing, I have to say. He looked he looked a £50 million midfielder. He looked frightening. No, he did. He did. And it wouldn't be a bad idea if you. Like I say, you've got to have different tactics. You've got to have different angles. The way, if you can pick up the ball in those sorts of positions and drive, why not from time to time during the game, if you want to do a bit of rotation, what have you, why not have Mendes in the coming into the middle to pick up and play those little short passes and then break on the counter like he did? You know, those are the things, Paul, I was saying from day one that Cardiff should be working on. You've seen what a player is capable of from within his own half, well within his own half yesterday. And, you know, we'd love to see more of that. I'm sure the fans would love to see more of that because, you know, it was stunning, to be fair.
See, Ben, why the Brighton result? I actually, on the final whistle, tweeted that this was, I was going to say Cardiff's best result and biggest result in years and years, and I can't quantify how many years, to be perfectly honest with you, right? But I ended up using the phrase most significant, and I think it was, because it's the Premier League. Because it's the Premier League, it's bigger than the promotion games, yeah? I think you have to go back a long way, a long, long, long way for a more significant Cardiff win than last night, than Tuesday night's Blakey. Mm. I'll explain why, because it really was that must win is a cliche. When you were playing, you must have been fed up reading our Echo headlines. This is a must win game for Cardiff. Yeah. This really was the most must win of must win games. It was a sliding doors moment because if Brighton had won that game, they'd have been 8 points clear of Cardiff. And let's remember, Brighton were at home, right? Yeah. The odds were on a Brighton win before the match, right? They would have been 8 points clear of Cardiff. Four games left for Cardiff. It's in effect 9 points because their goal difference is so superior. Yeah. It's mathematically not over, but it was pretty much done.
Well, you've got to beat Liverpool, man.
95% done and dusted at that point. Suddenly, by beating them, Cardiff have hauled that up to 2 points. Yes, still in effect 3, but it's 2 points as things stand. And you just feel that although Brighton are in the driving seat, they've got the advantage in terms of points, they've got a game in hand, although that's at Tottenham, let me stress, and they're already looking a little bit invincible on their own new territory. You just feel that the two teams are moving in different directions.
Absolutely,
and,
yeah.
And the reason it's a sliding doors moment is because Cardiff have suddenly sort of, they've got them well within their sights now. They're in the tailgate, and you just feel that the momentum is swinging back towards Cardiff.
Oh, it's swung.
It doesn't swing until they're above them.
Well, the momentum swings for me because I think that result, I don't think Brighton pick up another win. Well, maybe a draw or two. But I don't think they pick up another win between now and the end of the season.
So just to remind the listeners, right, they've got Wolves away on Saturday, they've got the Tottenham away game, which is their game in hand. Yep. Then they've got Newcastle at home, they can get something there. Then they've got Arsenal away and they finish with Man City at home, and Man City that probably need to win that game to win the title on that day.
Yeah.
That's not an easy runner for a team that have just conceded 7 goals in 2 home games. We've got their own fans booing them. We talk about a dressing room crisis in terms of the players being against the manager a little bit, thinking it's too negative. There's something inherently wrong in that dressing room.
It's not falling apart, but it excuse me, things come apart quickly, if you know what I mean. Straight away now, people are alluding to back end of last year, Brighton went on a similar sort of run and just, you know, stayed up. You know, they fell from, I don't know, something like 12th or 13th down, you know, 4 or 5 places, which a similar thing has happened this year. So, you know, all the negativity starts to come out. And why I say the momentum is with us, I think last night's game was it, really. Yeah. You know, I think Cardiff win, it's most definitely on the race.
Yeah.
If Cardiff lose, Brighton, you know, they can go to the beach for the last 4 or 5 games.
Yeah.
Now, knowing you have to win, because the chances are you're going to be playing some of your games before Cardiff.
Yeah.
You have to win a game because you don't want to come in and see Cardiff have won or gone above you by a point. So, listen, the momentum swing, the pressure swing, everything has gone in Cardiff's favour with that result last night.
Yeah.
How big an advantage is it that you look at sort of the players Neil Warnock has got, the sort of the key players, your Sean Morrison's, I know Sol Bamba's injured, Gunnarsson.
Manga.
Yeah, Manga. Warnock can look at them and they're up for the battle. Mm. You look at Brighton last night, people like Shane Duffy, Lewis Dunn, Glenn Murray.
The second goal, Morrison's goal was brilliant because he's just, if you watch him, he does something slightly just a little different, and it's like when you're a striker you see these things and you think that's what you got the goal. If you watch him for the second goal, he just I think it's Duffy on his side or Dunk, whichever left side centre half, it might be Dunk actually. He just, for the free kick, if you watch him, he just steps back a yard, then another half yard, just as the free kick's being taken, which allows him that little bit of space to get up and over the centre-back, up and over him, which he hasn't done much this season, because what I felt was a lot of teams have gone 2v1 on him, but they thought Duffy, Dunk, both big, large-size centre-halves, they'd be able to cope one-on-one. And, the second goal was fantastic, so... There's little things like that, Ben, which make a whole heap of difference to a result, to a game. And I think yesterday's result, like I said, I was just delighted with it.
See, what it also does, going back to the sliding doors moment, we'll obviously talk about Liverpool in a minute, but, it just changes the mindset of Cardiff. Brighton have clearly got a negative mindset, but Cardiff's on the other. If you're 8 points behind, in effect 9 points behind, which was entirely feasible, going to the Liverpool game, it's pretty much done.
Well, it's dead, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm. Fulham game after that is mathematically dead.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly, those two are live games. The fans are going to be so up for it. And to me, the real sliding doors moment, Blakey, will come on the penultimate weekend. So I can see a sequence of results now where the penultimate weekend...
Palace, is it?
Brighton go to Arsenal. Mm-hmm. Still, say they're still a point ahead of Cardiff, mm-hmm. or two ahead of Cardiff.
Oh, they
say they are, mm-hmm. right? I can see them losing that game, but I can see Cardiff then with two games to go, the final home game of the season, the capacity crowd behind them. I can see them beating Crystal Palace.
Yes,
1-0,
I can. Yes, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And at that moment, that's where they would then usurp them. They would go above them in the table. The final games, Cardiff at Man United. Even if you write that off. And I don't, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Brighton are home to Man City. It's suddenly...
It's believable.
Yeah.
Isn't it? It's not fairy tale.
No.
You're not looking and thinking, if Cardiff can beat Liverpool at home and then go to Old Trafford and get a point.
Yeah.
We're actually looking at those two games as bonus games now.
Yeah.
With
yeah.
no pressure.
Yeah.
The pressure games are Fulham and Palace.
Yeah.
Are they winnable? For sure. 100%. Fulham, I think you just go up there and really just put it on them physically. Yeah. And even if you come away with a point, psychologically, if Brighton don't win, okay, you step in closer to them again. And then they get the feeling, we're going to get relegated here. These are going to overtake us.
Yeah.
Unless we do something extraordinary.
Yeah.
Which I don't think they've got in their locker at the moment. Psychologically, I think last night, because the two teams were playing each other. Look, if Cardiff were playing Fulham and Brighton were playing Arsenal, say, and the results go in Cardiff's favour, it's still not as much as a blow as us coming to your turf in a relegation battle, knowing that the winners have got a better chance than the losers. Regardless of the points, the winners have got a better chance of staying up than the losers, I think. That's my personal point of view. Not because I'm Cardiff, because I understand momentum, I understand pressure. So, for me, them going there last night and putting one on them, it was humongous. It was massive.
I'm right in what I'm saying. I challenge you to tell me when they had last had such a significant win as that. It's maybe I'm overplaying it, Blakey, but I can't recall one that was given it's given what was at stake, given it's the Premier League as opposed to the Championship or League One or League Two promotion winner winning matches. You know, the last Premier League campaign, yeah, beat Man City, brilliant opening day of the season though, right? This was complete make or break. I think you probably have to go back. Well, I won't want like to quantify how many years.
Yeah,
you know, maybe I'm overstating it.
Yeah, maybe, maybe not. But only you would know. You're 75.
Blakey's in good form, isn't he?
I haven't been around that long, mate. I don't know. I've been around for the last 30 years. Right? So, yeah, I can go back that far. I can go back a little less, but you know, you'd have to tell us, mate. Go with your archives from 1938 or something.
Is that Jimmy House Brighton put to bed?
Yes.
All right. Let's look ahead then to Liverpool. It's big game. Helped by the fact that probably Brighton have their must-win matches before Cardiff's must-win matches, so to speak. So that plays a little effect. But Cardiff City Stadium Sunday, you know, a ton of Bluebirds fans making some noise. I know Liverpool are coming chasing a title, but how does Neil Warnock approach this?
For me, it's not a free spin, but you know what I mean. It's the pressure's off Cardiff, and the only way Cardiff get themselves into a bit of a tangle is if Liverpool come and, you know, run over them 5 or 6-0. Right, that's not good for anyone's confidence at any point in the season. If Cardiff can get a point, stay within a goal, you know, win the game possibly, because anything's possible, then, you know, it swings again. You know, the needle of momentum just totally is in Cardiff's favour. So the Liverpool game, the great thing from Cardiff's point of view, there's no pressure. No one's expecting you to win. No one's expecting you to get a result. You know, better teams have tried and failed miserably. I would say, you know, it's just about performance. More than result. Result is very important, Ben, but performance, how you perform and how you go out, those Cardiff fans, as they've done 99.9% of the season, clapping you off regardless of the result, that's going to be huge, because everyone's going to know your eggs are in two baskets, basically. They're in one in Fulham and one in Palace, and I think, you know, I think they'll get 4 points out of those two games. That's my prediction. I think they end up on 35 points and staying up just.
So if you sort of, the focus is more on the sort of the next doubleheader, you know, this last week has been a crucial sort of season defining doubleheader. We've now got another one coming up, Fulham and Palace. How do you line up for the Liverpool game? Is it same personnel, sort of try keep a bit of momentum going from Brighton, or do you make changes?
You play Liverpool kind of how, well, Liverpool are better this year at keeping the ball, and they don't play at such a high tempo as they did last year. I think that was their problem last year, but they still play high tempo. But I think if you're Cardiff, you concede that possession wise all season, you've not beaten no one for possession, so thinking you can gain possession, more possession than them, would be foolish. So accept that you're gonna, you know, give the possession to the opposition, but how you counter, right? And what you showed last night was you've got players in your ranks that can threaten anybody. Pace kills anybody. It doesn't matter if you're the best defender in the world. If I run past you, if I push the ball past you and we're in a race and I'm quicker than you, it's over. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's what I do then at the end of that, when I get on the ball, what I do is important. But I can still get inside your head, I can still twist your head just by getting beyond you and frightening you, doing things that are threatening to you and your goal, corners, pressure. So, you know, how they approach the Liverpool game, for me, it's nothing to lose, everything to gain. So at the moment,
go on with that, Paul.
Not completely, no. I know exactly where Blakey's coming from, and I do think it comes down to the Fulham and Palace games, but I'm getting greedy now. And, you know, with just four games to go, I'm, you know, I was thinking, do you know what?
Well, I can tell you one thing, Paul. The young man to my left, my boy Jude, would
be... How old are you, Jude?
16.
Blakey's son, everyone.
Yes, he is a United fan. Don't people. Cardiff second, yes. Yes, I have been known to...
Nathan Blake's son is a Cardiff fan, everybody.
Yes. He is, because I am one of those dads that forces him to be. But when he's of his own mind, he's a Red. A Man United Red. Don't ask me where this came from. I think living up in Manchester didn't help all those years. But he is desperate for Cardiff to beat Liverpool.
I wouldn't write them off, though. That's the thing.
Why wouldn't you write them off?
Well, because I feel like Liverpool in the last few games, they've been good. But, like, I think Jordan Henderson has played a huge part for them in the last few games, personally.
Mm.
I think he used to try and add to the attack, didn't he? And it didn't really go too well. But the difference is now, he can actually, like, sustain an attack.
Mm.
So, I feel like, if you got Mendes Lang on him and went one-on-one, I reckon we could have a chance.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. So you're lucky you said we there as well.
Yeah.
So I was going to drop you off somewhere. Yeah, it's going to drop you off on the M4.
Potential blip family feud. Yeah. You're like, you know your football,
Oh, you know your football, mate.
You know more than your old man.
I often ask him, Paul.
I think we've read a new host.
I am getting greedy. What I will say is this. I think that that atmosphere... Now, listen, we've seen some very special events in that stadium. You know, Cardiff winning two promotions. Wales beating Belgium. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you, that atmosphere on Sunday, Blakey, right? I think it's going to be up there with anything we've seen.
I agree.
I'm not going to say it's going to eclipse it. Because I'm not sure you can get better than Wales, Belgium, or the... But it's going to be right up there. Because the difference this time is you've got two sets of fans. The Liverpool fans will be fantastic, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
There'll be 2,000 of them, technically. There'll probably be a lot more than that because there's a massive Liverpool fan base in Cardiff itself and South Wales in general.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly, as I said to you earlier, the mindset of the Cardiff fans changes. They would have gone along there muted if they're 8 points behind. Now it's done and dusted. Suddenly, this is a football match with real meaning at both ends of the Premier League table.
Yeah.
I think the atmosphere is going to be absolutely rip-roaring.
I'm getting tingles now.
Potentially like nothing we've seen before in that grind.
Yeah.
And I think that will lift the Cardiff players.
Yeah.
I really do. You know the old argument of you suddenly run faster. I mean, you would know.
Absolutely, score a goal and you gather energy. You know. I've been in games where 55 minutes and I'm thinking, or before the game, warming up, thinking, I'm in Lactic City here, my legs feel like lead and can't run. You nick a goal in the first 5 minutes, you're like Mary Poppins, you're like a spring lamp. You're like, oh, my second, oh, my third. And, you know, I don't know how it happens. It just, there's some, I don't know, something in the system that releases and kicks you on. And I think Cardiff, and when they walk out to the atmosphere,
yeah,
you know, and I think you made a great point, Paul, in both sets,
yeah,
of fans
that's
are going
the key
for it,
that's why I think know? It will
it'll be a ruckus, yeah,
that's
yeah.
why it potentially clips anything we've seen,
yeah,
anyway,
I think
because it's
right.
two sets of fans, and
yeah.
you know, the Liverpool fans are as sorry Jude, but they're arguably as passionate as more passionate than any set of fans in the UK. I've got Blake Junior having a go at me, but it's you know, it's just
there's no good denying they're great fans.
One of my colleagues just told me we're working on a story right now that tickets are going on official sort of
yep.
sale websites for £1,000, Blakey.
Wow!
This is for a club football match in Wales.
Mm-hmm.
£1,000.
Well, it's probably the Liverpool fans driving that because they're believers, isn't they? They believe this is
so,
their season.
You know.
And, you know, if you remember the last time when the Gerrard slip happened, right?
That's my favourite goal in Premier League history, I'm sorry.
If you remember, they were holding up the banners saying, make us believe and blah, 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 blah. And they were within touching distance of it. Mm-hmm. So they, you know. For Liverpool never to have won the Premier League is like, you know, when I was Jude's age, if you had said that to me, I would have bet you everything I had. If you said to me, Liverpool go, you know, 30 years without winning the title, I would have all in. I would have given you every chip I had. I would have gone to the chippy and bought chips and put it on the table, really. But they haven't, and that's how football works. So they are, as desperate as we are to stay up, they are to win the title.
Yeah.
So it's... It bodes for a fantastic atmosphere,
yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. What about the, how do Cardiff I don't want to take Ben's job here by asking the questions, but I am a journalist as well. How did Cardiff stop Mo Salah and Sadio Mane? And Firmino, for that matter. What do they do? I mean, how highly did you rate those three?
I need to be careful, because
Mane first.
Yeah. I think Mane is the man. I really do. Although Salah gets most of the credit. I think Mane, okay, his finishing sometimes is a bit off key, but his driving determination, he never goes missing. That's what I love about him. Yeah. And he's a tough little cookie. But I think that front three, as good as, probably the best front three in the league, as a three, you'd have to say, for consistency and how they've played this season. You know, you'd have to say, you know, City rely heavily on Aguero.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and Sterling to a degree.
Sterling, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but they'll mix it a bit more. Liverpool have kind of stayed with that same front three.
Yeah.
You know, come hell or high water. So I would say, you know, all three of them in different ways are I think Firmino is the key, though. I think he's the key.
Yeah.
I think not just the way he holds up the ball, I think the way he comes off and comes deep. I think his touches are so clever, such an intelligent footballer. And I think Cardiff, how they have to cope with that, well, it's the pace first and foremost. You know, if you're deep, if you're going to play deep, which I would suggest, Cardiff, play deep block football and counter-attack, then you deny the space behind you, so to speak. But you are up against some world-class players. And even in those scenarios, those little darting runs across from Bennett behind Morrison or Manga or whatever, those little darting runs in between, they're so hard to pick up as well. So, you know, listen, make no bones about it, it's probably Cardiff's most difficult game of the season.
Yeah.
Yeah? But, you know, they've given themselves a boost that, well, if you had asked them, you know, over the last three or four games, what would you like? You would have said a good win away at Brighton to go into Liverpool and carry on into Fulham. That's like those sequence of three games. Now, they've done the first part. You're up against Liverpool with nothing to lose, second part. You know, go and listen, I'm not bothered. Like I said, they can win, lose or draw. I'm not bothered. I'm looking at performance first and foremost. Energy levels, they still got them, because that's going to be important. Going into Fulham, going into Palace, your energy levels are going to be massive. And like Mendes Lang last night looked like he could run a marathon after the game. So the signs are good for Cardiff City.
Ben, I'm a massive... Blakey's particularly talked up Mane and Firmino there, and I get that. They've both got huge strengths. I am a massive... fan of Mo Salah.
Oh, me as well. Don't get it wrong.
You know, you speak to some Liverpool fans, and it's all about how Virgil van Dijk has changed his team. Virgil van Dijk, this. And he is a world-class defender. Don't get me wrong. He has helped transform fortunes. But the fact is, without Mo Salah, they wouldn't be anywhere near where they are.
I don't know.
No, they wouldn't play.
Take out Salah. He
scores goals. He creates
goals. But take out Salah. Nothing. Or take out... Virgil.
I think it would be the same.
No, I think they'd struggle with Virgil. Without Virgil, put it this way, without Virgil, they probably concede another 30 goals this season. Quite easily.
Yeah, without Salah, they wouldn't score anything like the number of
goals. Yeah, but then you talk about wins and losses rather than, you know what I mean?
Huge, huge fan of Salah. I think that Hazard is the best player in the Premier League, and then Salah is the next best, possibly on a par with Pogba, and I don't think anybody else comes close after that. I think they're out on their own, those players, personally.
Mm. Don't let the English hear you saying that with Harry, King Harry out there. Oh, God. This is blasphemy. She's talking about football and didn't mention Harry Kane.
Don Booth has left now. Harry Kane, the president of the fan club. So,
yes,
but it's just a wonderful player, Salah. And you know, Joe Bennett's got his work cut out on them. Knowing Neil Warnock's tactics. He'll probably get Bennett to man Mark Sal and follow him all over the pitch, won't he? Which doesn't work with Cardiff.
It can't.
But
do
he does.
That.
But he, no. But he does it, Blakey, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's been one of our Achilles' heels for the last couple of seasons since Neil's been here. For me, Paul, I've stated on the podcast before. Listen, against this team, if you're going to do that, you can expect a Tompkin of three or four minimum. Yeah. I think if you follow Kosala likes to start on the right and end up in a central position.
Yeah.
So does Mane on the other side. Firmino comes deep a lot. If you start getting players to follow, if that the tactic would be for me, just sit deep. All right.
Hold your position,
attach yourself to your man. If he runs across you, you talk. Right? If he runs across you and you're going to follow him, I got to know that Junior is within touching distance to slot into that left-back position if I'm Bennett. Right? That's the only way. And if I go across, because Firmino's come deep and Gunnarsson can pick him up, I am then talking to Bruno Manga to let him know, make sure, look, I'm only going to come so far. I'm not going to be pulled to the other side of the pitch and what have you. You know, I think those extremes are what caused Cardiff to get headspun with rotation.
Yeah.
What about going from 1-3 to another? What about midfield? So obviously, last week there was a little bit of talk between you two about maybe dropping the midfield three. Paul, you talked about playing like an inverted four, weren't you? Sort of Josh Murphy in that 4-3-3.
Well, whatever happens, it's got to be three in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last night, obviously, Gunnarsson showed us what Cardiff are going to miss.
Yeah.
Timely return for Joe Walls. Harry Art is probably going to miss this weekend, but he should be back for Fulham. I suppose it's a good sort of time for Joe Walls to sort of lay down another marker, isn't it?
Well, Joe was brilliant last time, I have to say. I thought he was tremendous. Do you know what I liked about what Joe done yesterday? Different.
Go on.
He played forward a lot. Even run forward with the ball at times. When you're in that midfield central and you're over the halfway line, it's important, if you watch the top teams or the middle table teams, it's important that your central midfielders step forward, move forward with the ball. Sideways is okay, right? But it doesn't really get you anywhere. What you're doing is hoping that the left back, Bennett, runs on and passes into Højlund or the striker, plays 1-2, gets across. You as a central midfielder, it's imperative that you play forward. And what Joe done last night was play forward a lot and run forward a lot with the ball. Only 5-6 yards, but once you pass that midfielder, you're at the back four, or you're at the back three, or you're at the back five. What it allows to do, once you break that midfielder, what it allows centre forwards and wingers to do is move. Alright? Is move. I don't have to just hold up against the centre half now if I'm Nias, right? Once he's broken the line, I go onto my side and I can run across, I can run straight for a slide rule. I cause the defender all sorts of problems. So that for me was, I watched it and I thought, even right down to the very end, he was brilliant, man. You know, I've been critical of Joe plenty of times. Dominic likes Joe. You and I were more middle of the road with Joe. But I'm telling you, last night was kind of like a coming of age. He'd done things last night that I expect of him now. Not, oh, can he do it? I know he can do it. It's just being a bit braver and telling yourself, oh, I belong. You know, I'm not just going to get it and give it again. Sometimes I'm going to get it and drive, even if it's 10 yards. You've seen what Mendes Lang picking up the ball centrally and driving through players. You see what it does. It's not just Nias who's going to be running. You've got to break that midfield. You've got to get beyond it as a midfielder. That's your job. Not just to get it and give it. Get it. If I'm a striker playing with Joe, last night I would have carried him off on my shoulders because he's looking to slip in little balls. Slip. And it makes my life easier. And I understand how important that little 7-8 yard pass is. How important it is to bring other people into play and what it does when you break that midfield line. It's they're little things, Paul, but they're huge. I thought he was excellent last night, really. I thought he was brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know what Liverpool trio Klopp's going to pick Ben. You know, he's got who's yeah. got he's got Henderson, Milner, Wijnaldum, Keita, Fabinho.
Well, it'll be three of those. It'll be three of those five.
Just all Cardiff fans, just all our talk positively, just like, oh, no.
No, I'm not too fussed about some of those players, you know.
Listen, they're all holding their own Champions League as well. So, listen, you have to give them credit. They are top players.
You know, I do think that they've got a brilliant right back in Trent Alexander-Arnold. He's got a big future ahead of him, very big future ahead of him. Van Dijk is clearly class. I think Robertson is unsung and the best left back in the Premier League, probably by some distance.
I'd agree with that. Yeah,
but their real strength is the front three for me.
Now goes through that midfield again.
No, I can't remember.
But just said they got a fantastic back four. They got a great goalkeeper, but their real strength is the front three. I think.
It's interesting because last time they were down here for a Premier League match, we had a crazy game. It was March, what was it, 2014. It was 6-3 to Liverpool. Twice Cardiff took the lead.
They did, yeah.
Twice Liverpool pegged them back. Suarez scored a hat-trick. Their front three that day was pretty special. Suarez, Sturridge at his best, and Sterling.
Yeah.
You know, the one thing you can almost guarantee with Liverpool-Cardiff games is there's goals, there's drama.
Mm.
He says it'll be 0-0 this week. But, there are, you know, the cup final, you know, Ben Turner equalising in the
that went right to the very end, didn't it? Yeah,
and didn't Cardiff take the lead in that game with Joe Mason. You know, so it's
history.
There's drama, when these two clubs play each other, which isn't that often, right? Mm. They've only played. I think I was looking at the head to heads earlier, Ben, and they've actually played, I think they played regularly in the 50s, but there was a gap then between 59 through to 2007.
Mm.
No games between them. So, and you know, Liverpool won every game this century. You'd expect that to a degree, but there's always a time for these records to come.
I know what you mean. It's even though you would back Liverpool to win, you wouldn't write off Cardiff to do something.
No.
You know, it's there's always histrionics between the two, and you're right. There's always goals between the two, so you know, keep those fingers, eyes, toes crossed, and everything, and say a little word to the big man, and hopefully we can get a result.
Yep, I think that's a perfect place to leave that. We'll have a quick break, and then we'll be back with a bit of Ask Blakey.
Subscribe to The Boot Room on iTunes or listen on walesonline.co.uk.
Right, we've got some good questions, Blakey. Let's start with a nice one from Gareth Boy.
Boy?
Boy.
But Boy.
Yeah, I think that's the pronunciation.
Gareth But Boy. But Boy.
You can give me abuse on Facebook for that pronunciation. But did Blakey ever score a better goal in his career than Mendes Lang last night?
Whoa, what a question, Blakey. What a question.
Probably about 30.
In a season.
Probably three or four. Those goals, that's what I'm saying, the goal he scored last night was special, but it was already made before. You understand what I'm saying, don't you? When you see him saying, give me it back, the junior, give me it back, he's basically saying, give it to me, I've got something I want to do, I want to try something, I know I'm going to try. So it was in before he hit it.
Yeah.
The ball was in the right place. Brighton didn't close him down well enough.
It's like 11 metres, isn't it?
Yeah, and he was like, one touch and hit. And in training, if you hit that shot, it's not like you hit that shot once in 100 times it goes in training. That should go in 7 out of 10 times in training. You know, if you're Lionel Messi, it probably goes in 9 or 10 out of 10 times. If you're a League 1, League 2 player, it probably goes in 3 or 4 times out of 10. But, you know, technically, it wasn't difficult because it wasn't made difficult, but it was still off the charts, like skill level. It was brilliant.
See, what made a goal of the season for me, because Camarasa scored a goal similar to that for the win at Leicester.
Yeah.
line it very, very similar goal. But what made this the goal of the season for me for Cardiff was, I come back to it,
where it started.
Yeah,
absolutely, I agree.
Mendes's run, yeah, at power and pace. Yeah. You know,
because often you're out of breath by the time you get to the other end, and you're not asking for it. And that's what I was saying. Him asking for it so significantly was like, mate, give it to him, because he's got something planned already.
Yeah, so to go on the run, which we've said, haven't we, that's been a weakness of Cardiff's.
Stretching teams from deep.
Mm. Take players out by going past them, mm-hmm, but then to finish with that aplomb as well.
Yeah.
I hesitate to use the phrase world-class goal, right?
Mm.
Because
clearly, that was a world-class finish.
But it was a world-class goal, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, of course
it
was.
I'm saying he's a
world-class. Yeah, yeah. Well, Brighton are not a world-class team.
Yeah.
Neither were Cardiff, but it was a world-class goal. It was a world-class
goal
moment.
If Lionel Messi had scored that goal, you could see Lionel Messi scoring a goal like that, albeit with his left foot, can't you? Yeah. You could see that.
Yeah. Well, he did, similar. Just put it in the bottom corner, not the top, against United, same day.
That's Dom's problem there.
Yeah, that's a little for Dom.
Is another great question from Richard Hilliard.
All right, Richard.
It's obvious with both ours and Brighton's remaining fixtures that Palace and Fulham are our winnable games, whereas Brighton only have Newcastle at home on paper to target realistic points. Do you think it'll be that clear cut, or do you think either club can pull off an upset, and if so, where?
I think Arsenal for Brighton is difficult because they're Champions League. Tottenham is difficult again, similar reasons. I look at Newcastle as they're one of them teams as well. Rafa Benitez got them going to the very end. He's looking at as many points as possible, you know. And they've had things considered, they've had a great season. I can't see Rafa and Brighton, I can't see an easy ride in that game. I would actually say that's probably the one kind of game you don't want, where the team you're playing against got nothing to lose.
No.
They're not going for promotion, they're not going for top four, they're not going for Europe, they're not in relegation, so there's absolutely no pressure, and you're going into that game knowing you have to win. That's massive, mate. It is a really big ask. So I don't even look at the Newcastle game. Yes, it's a game they can win, but you have to take into consideration where they are and what they're doing at the moment. So for me, Cardiff have got two games they can target severely, and I honestly think if confidence is as it should be, they can go into those games looking to get a minimum of 4 points. Listen, even if they get one win out of those two games and they jump ahead of Brighton, I think at that point, Brighton, the pressure becomes too much, you know. And I can see, you know, because what happens is, as you heard last night with Brighton, the fans are now, they don't want to turn on their team. But as soon as they go goal down, or they're not playing well, or the opposition have some sustained pressure, the boos start ringing, the shouts start ringing, and the pressure starts coming. And all that does is add to Brighton's woes. It's not going to help, it just hinders the situation. So for me, Cardiff are kind of in the driving seat, even though I take Paul's point, yes, they're still 2 points behind and the goal difference is huge, but I kind of think the momentum has really swung.
I suppose that follows on quite nicely to the next question from Mark George, which is, whose position do you rather be in, Brighton or Cardiff?
I take the points, no doubt. So points-wise, I want to be in Brighton's position. Playing and performance-wise, I want to be in Cardiff's position.
You don't see the Cardiff fans likely to turn on Warnock seeing the one same.
They never have. Exactly. They've done it once this season. They've done it once this season when they had a little bit of a boo-up. Right? And I'm not sure if that was at the team. I think it was more at the officials, understandably. But, you know, people have said to me, friends of mine have said to me, like, they've gone to the games, they're at the games, and I can't believe it. They lost, and like fans are like clapping them off, and it's because no fan has got the wool pulled over his eyes. They understand they shouldn't really have got promoted. They did, against all odds. You're never going to stay in the Premier League, was a shout from lots of people. Chrissy Sutton. Right? And here they are within touching distance of doing it. So, you know, what they've done. And honestly, I'd like to see it for one reason, and that's for Neil Warnock to be able to say, I told you so. Just for one day. He's only going to get one day of saying, I told you so. But I'd like to see it for him, for what he's done in his career in football. I'd like to see him keep a team in the Premier League. And if I was him, I would then say, right, I'll go upstairs, or I'll knock it on the head, because I've got no more to achieve. So I doubt he will, because he said he's staying next year. But, you know, for him especially, I'd like to see the boys do it.
Again, that brings us brilliantly onto the next question. It's like you've written it.
Like me and you just see the difference with Dom was we were never in sync.
So this one is from Ed Hopkins.
All right, Edward.
Who would be the best successor to Neil Warnock? And should Neil move upstairs when he does go?
No, I don't think Neil should move upstairs. Honestly, I think Neil, when he's finished, it ends. He's told us he's given us another year. Mate, I could list managers, possible managers, candidates, but you know, I think the problem at the moment, as I've stated before, Cardiff's problem is they're over reliant upon Neil. They were going down before he came in, or they were going in the relegation battle. He's come in, he's brought his staff, he's sorted out transfers, he's sorted out players, he's sorted out the way we play, blah 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 blah. Now, for me, that is the job of the club. The chief executive, the head of football, the chairman, the owner. Right? The owner, granted, the chairman, granted, all of them don't really know football. But you've been here long enough now, you know your fans, you know what they wish. They require good football, high tempo, and aggressive. Right? And you need to develop a philosophy that you're going to select managers which are going to suit the way you play and the way your fans want to see you play. Right? They are the one constant, fans. So you build it around that. Do you understand me? You understand your fans, you understand the philosophy, and you move forward. So I'm not going to name anyone in particular, because I'd probably be accused of bias, because the people I would name wouldn't necessarily be the everyday people that people would say. Like I remember a few years ago on Rob Phillips' show, I called Marco Silva. Rob was like, who? What? Where? Who's he? I was like, he was perfect for Swansea. Swansea needed a man. He was the perfect man. Right? Never materialised, and you know, we've seen what he's done since. So I'm not going to call anyone in particular, but you know, Cardiff, what they've got is time to plan, because Neil has said he's going to stay another year. And I think whether they go up or down, what I hope isn't happening is behind the scenes that those people at the top, from chief exec up, are not listening to agents out there who are trying to push managers into the club for no other reason than to make money. Right? You have to understand your own business, your own fans. You have to create your own strategy. Don't be reliant on outside influences, because they've got an agenda 99.9 times out of 100. So, you know, if Cardiff want to give me a job, I'll help them and give them some managers' names. But until then, unpaid.
I think they're in the dugout, huh?
No, not the dugout, mate. I'm more of a suit, mate. But, no, listen, what they've got is time to succession plan, Ben. They've got that on their side, and you know, if you do your homework, there's a lot of people out there who fit the bill for me. I couldn't name one specific. I've probably got about six.
Okay, final question. This one's from Kirk Tasker.
All right, Kirk.
If Cardiff stay up, will it be bigger than Man City winning the quadruple after everything that's happened?
No. It wouldn't be bigger than Man City winning the quadruple. The quadruple is, I think you have to understand, you're one team going for one thing in a season, and this is one team, regardless of money, manager, players, this is one team going for everything in a season. And it's not everything domestically, it's everything domestically plus the European, you know. So you're up against the likes of Juventus, you're in the hat with Atletico Madrid, Barcelona's and everything. So that achievement would be the best the Premier League's ever produced, if City's better than the United 99, sorry mate, but it would be.
I don't mind wanting to win.
But it would be the biggest, it would be, I think the City achievement, as in Man City, would be the biggest thing I've seen in Premier League football. Cardiff staying in the Premier League would be one of Cardiff's biggest achievements, no doubt. But bigger than Man City winning the quad? Nah, I can't say that.
There we go. That's it for Ask Blakey. We'll be back after another short break with some predictions. Right, yeah, let's get some predictions going. So let's get your footy five. This is a chance for all you listeners to win yourself £25,000.
Yep.
Going online, footy five. Doing
still waiting for Paul to give me my 25 large. Although I haven't really got five in a row yet.
Get these five. And you can come back next week.
Yeah, hopefully, man, hopefully.
So let's start. What we got? We got Bournemouth versus Fulham.
Bournemouth 3-0.
3-0? Huddersfield, Watford?
Watford 3-0.
Liking three today.
Yeah, I am, yeah.
West Ham v Leicester, 3-0.
West Ham v Leicester, yeah. West Ham at home v Leicester. 2-2. Always goals at the end of the season, yeah, mate. Everyone's tired.
Yeah. Wolves against Brighton.
Wolves, Brighton. Wolves at home had a bad result. Wolves, Brighton. Wolves 2-0.
Fancying the bounce back after, you know, the cup final in Southampton.
Yeah. Well, Southampton, they were unlucky.
Yeah.
You know, they were unlucky. And listen, after the FA Cup, I don't care what team you are, that's going to hurt for a while. And, you know, now it will just be leaving their system sort of thing for me. So it would have taken me a week to get over that, definitely. Definitely. I mean, I wasn't playing, I was watching. It took me a week to get over it. I was gutted, absolutely devastated. But, you know, I go Wolves. I think they just got too much quality for a Brighton team on the counter as well. At home, I just think fans are just driving them now to get as high as possible. Wolves fans are stupendous.
Yeah.
So, I'll go Wolves win.
And finally, Newcastle, Southampton.
Ooh, good game. Newcastle at home, Southampton. I'm going to go 1-1.
1-1?
Yeah.
Lovely stuff. And then, what about the big game this weekend?
Cardiff, are you talking?
I'm talking Cardiff.
I'm going to go 2-1 Liverpool, just
2-1.
I think it'll be very hot, very controversial. I'm going to go Liverpool 2-1, just.
We're not talking another late referee in
decision. Oh, we kind of are, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Big teams, big clubs get the best and biggest decisions, I'm afraid, Ben.
Yeah.
Well, VAR isn't going to help anybody.
Paul, what about you?
You know what, I really can't call it. I mean, logic says 2-0 Liverpool. I don't know, they're cracking, even though they're churning out the results, Blakey, you feel performance wise they're cracking a little bit under the pressure as well. Although that sounds daft because they keep getting the three points. But you feel that can't be sustained.
No, I don't feel that with Liverpool.
Man City are winning their games.
I actually look at Man City right now. I think you're a little more likely to slip up than Liverpool.
Do you?
Yeah, I think Man City, they're playing conserve energy football, understandably, because of all the games you still got to play. Whereas Liverpool, I think, are playing how they've played all season, largely. And what the good thing about Liverpool is, if you're a Liverpool fan, is they're not panicked if you get the 50, 60 minutes and it's 0-0.
Yeah.
There's no desperation. I think what my son has described as his favourite goal, which is a disgrace because Stevie G's a ledge.
Demon Bar's a ledge too, man.
I think that season they were panicked. Yeah. They were within touching distance of it and they knew it. And they were talking, doing things like the all getting together on the pitch after the game, no slip, and then it comes to that and you slip. You know, those things don't change anything. Nothing. Just keep doing what you're doing, and they have largely. And I think if anyone was likely to slip, and plus City got so many games to play in comparison to Liverpool, but there is that drive of we can do something that no one has ever done in the Premier League. So that's a big carrot for City as well.
How big for Liverpool was it getting through last weekend? Because everyone built up that weekend, and it was Chelsea versus Liverpool, Palace versus Man City. Same fixtures as 4 years ago.
Yeah.
When the slip happened. Yeah. How big was it? They got through that.
Well, I think it was huge. I think it was huge in the sense that, like Paul mentioned earlier, there's a little bit of history between Cardiff and Liverpool. Liverpool-Chelsea, there's huge history, especially because of the Champions League games and things like that over the last 20 years. It's been huge. So you felt, maybe this is the one that catches them out. But they just done what they do. You know, they played largely as good as they have all season. They weren't like lucky or anything like that. And it's funny, the two players in Milner and Henderson, or you're probably saying are the, you know, the players that Liverpool will probably be able to do without, are probably the two players you want to keep, because what they've shown is that drive and determination has helped push Liverpool last 20 minutes when they've come on and then earned their place in the team. So I don't know. I think it's, if anyone's more likely to slip, I think it'd be Man City. But I don't think it's playing. I think it's energy. I think they're trying to do, you know, the quad is you know, is unheard of, really. The triple is impossible. So yeah, it's not even a word for the quad, really.
There we go.
I sort of sat on the fence like a good politician and hoping that you'd forget about it, but you haven't done.
Didn't quite.
2-1 Liverpool. 2-1 Liverpool. But I really would not be surprised.
He's shaking his head.
I really would not be surprised if it 1-1. Blake Jr., did you hear that, everyone? Say it again.
3-2 Cardiff.
There you are. Blake Jr. Yeah. On the podcast again,
that.
People.
You can come again for that.
Yeah, man. There we go. I think that's as good a place anywhere to leave.
Well, no, because Dom always gave a prediction as well.
Oh, did he?
I should have known him. Ben was already in his seat.
I'm going to go 2-1 Liverpool as well. I think Cardiff will keep them out for a fair bit.
This game is about performance for Cardiff.
Yeah.
Performance and confidence. Do you know? If they won the game, the confidence would be through the roof.
Yeah.
If they drew the game, the confidence is through the roof. If they lose the game by the odd goal, confidence is high. If they get smashed, then obviously,
yeah,
you know, confidence lapses. But, you know, even if they get smashed, who doesn't expect it, really?
They get to the half-hour mark and it's still goalless. The atmosphere in that crowd is just going
to
be...
Oh, can you imagine if they get to the 60-minute mark and it's 0-0? Wow.
There we go. The first post-Don Booth podcast is over, and I think it just about went okay.
Yeah, I think it was... I think it was a brilliant show. No offence, Don, because I know you're going to listen, but... Ben is, you know, Paul was saying earlier, he should have had Ben all along.
However, just to wind up, obviously, for all the Cardiff v Liverpool build-up, go to Wales Online.
Absolutely.
And it will all be there, the best and biggest build-up to the biggest game. Again, Cardiff have had for many of them.
Come on, Bluebirds!